Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Many aspects of Ireland's health and social care systems are struggling this evening after international criminals attacked the HSE's IT systems in an attempt to hold the country's health information to ransom. Earlier, a government minister described it as possibly the most significant cybercrime attack on the Irish state. For an update on where things stand now, just after 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer at the HSE. Dr. Henry, you're very welcome to the programme. Thank you very much indeed for joining us, because I know the investigation and dealing with the damage caused by this must be intense and stressful. But can you give us, what is it, 10 past five, give us an up-to-date overview of what has happened and the damage done so far?
This is a very sophisticated ransomware attack, really, as the government minister said, something unprecedented in our experience. All national and local services are affected. And in order to limit damage, once we became aware of this, it necessitated a shutdown of our systems in order to contain the damage and ensure that it wasn't worse than it might have been. And we're working now to ensure people with our national cybersecurity and national and international experts to limit harm, to try and continue services, of course, but also to protect the information within our systems. But that means that we are now operating a healthcare system with the same experts, the same people, the same hospitals and GPs, but without that critical enabling infrastructure of IT on which our services' speed and efficiency relies.
The question people want answered, I suppose, one of them at least, is how long this disruption will go on for, because I know the initial response to contain this and protect data, personal data, is to shut down the systems, as you say. And part of the response, I believe, is to partially reopen the systems in a graduated way. How long will the disruption go on for?
Conor, the most recent information within the past, it will take a number of days. It is, as I say, an unprecedented situation in terms of its seriousness, of its impact, and of the scale and scope of the potential harm. And as such, the advice we're getting from those same experts we're working with is that given how serious this is, it's going to take a number of days before we can safely begin to reopen those IT systems on which our healthcare services rely. Now, it's fortunately we're in a situation, we have developed contingency plans through working with our clinicians and our management structures today. So we are still in a position, and I can go through those with you, Cormac, that our services are still able to, as I said, we have the same experts, the same services there. It's just that the efficiency and throughput, it will not be there because of the IT systems upon which they rely.
So let's go through the areas that are most affected, first of all, if you don't mind. Do you want to start with emergency departments? Or can they function normally?
Yes, emergency departments are functioning as normal. I want to assure anybody who's listening, and people who are in urgent or emergency needs can attend, but please remember that the throughput will be slower because we won't have access to your previous apart from your written records, you won't have access to your previous results. We have to rely on the charts, the notes, and of course our hospital teams who may or may not know patients. So there will be a slower throughput through emergency departments, and people please bear this, anyone who needs urgent or emergency care, to remember this. What I would say also, Cormac, is that fortunately most of our GPs, their systems are not affected, and the GP out of hours appears not to be affected. So there are other elements of emergency care, including the National Ambulance Service, including out of Irish GPs, fortunately appear to have been spared so far from what we can see.
Okay, GPs are affected though, aren't they, Colm Henry, in terms of referring COVID patients for a test, isn't it? That's still the case, isn't it?
Correct, and people will know, and many people have had more than one test from the beginning of this pandemic, and will know that the system that has worked for us has been for people to isolate when they have symptoms, contact their GPs and get referred for a test. That system is no longer working, that health link between that assessment by a GP and ordering and making sure that test takes place. What we have done today is contact all our static testing centres. We've converted them to walk-in, de facto walk-in centres. So we're seeing the people, if they contact their GP, they can go to any of those centres and get a test done. And even if they're symptomatic, we still get that test done if they turn up at any of those centres. But to bear in mind that those important public health messages when people are symptomatic is to get the test, isolate, but get the test done, then isolate until you get the result back. And when you turn up for testing, make sure to wear a mask and to safely distance from other people. So we need to keep testing people. We need to keep identifying cases. But the pathway on which this relied, the IT component, is not functioning at present. And therefore, we're enabling people to turn up and get tested.
We might stay with COVID for just a second, because I think contact tracing, the capacity for contact tracing has been reduced. So how will that affect things?
We have stood up a contingency system today, Cormac, with a number of other other resources within that contact tracing system. So it is up and running. We're focusing on some areas of particular importance. It is a little bit slower. We may not be as quick getting to people as we have been, but it is up and running still. As I said, we have contingency plans here and other aspects of our services right across the system. So the contact tracing system is working, but a little bit slower than people would have been used to.
Okay. Can we talk about cancer care, oncology? Because we spoke to one cancer patient, Emer Craig, who bravely spoke to us just before 5 o'clock. And she was telling us that, like many cancer patients, an appointment she had today had to be cancelled. But how is cancer care affected as of now?
Well, we're reacting, obviously, on the day this has come to light, Cormac, and what our commitment, as I said at the beginning, urgent and emergency care is still there, is still continuous, and that by necessity. The problem we have is accessing, because those services rely on IT systems to access previous results, be they pathology results or radiology results or even previous imaging. So in many cases, we cancelled appointments for people to come, or cancelled X-ray procedures, because simply the access to the previous results, the previous imaging, hasn't been there for the radiologist, which enables the radiologist to make a proper interpretation. Of course, any cancelled appointments will be rescheduled the moment this problem is resolved. At this point in time, these appointments have been cancelled simply because we can't do the reporting in a safe and appropriate manner without access to the previous results, the previous imaging, all of which are captured within their own NIMIS, as we call them, in IT systems.
You said this disruption could go on for a number of days. So if for patients who had appointments cancelled today, Dr. Henry, I mean, is it too early to say yet when they would have that appointment reinstated?
Yes, it is too early, but we will. I can assure people that once this problem is resolved, and I reiterated the priority, Cormac, we need to protect information through what has been an unprecedented attack across all services on our IT systems. We need to protect patients' information. We need to ensure continuity in the first instance of urgent and emergency care. Yes, there will be cancellations, and if this is protracted, there may be further cancellations of scheduled activity next week. And all I can do is commit that once this problem is resolved, we will reschedule, of course, those most time necessary conditions, including people who are involved in any cancer care or cancer investigations.
Okay. Can I ask you about maternity services at the Rotunda Hospital? Because I know that appointments have been cancelled there for patients, except for patients who were 36 weeks pregnant or in the case of emergencies. That's the information we had earlier this afternoon. Is there any advance on that?
Well, that's, of course, a decision made by the Master Rotunda based on the impact of this cyber attack on their system, and they're prioritising where the most essential and urgent care, and that's what they've done. Our maternity services across the system, again, the same. We're trying to ensure as much continuity as we can, trying to focus on the area of greatest need and greatest risk. But cancelling, unfortunately, the more elective side of care, which is usually in terms of gynaecology at this stage, but certainly maternity care, we're trying to spare it insofar as we can. So it is a very fluid situation, Cormac, and we're trying to react to the risk. I've just come off the phone to clinical directors and clinical leads across the country to assess the impact in hospitals and hospital groups, and I'm taking on board and be advising the HCA accordingly of where they feel the greatest risk is until this problem is resolved. In the meantime, we'll be continuing, as I say, providing as much assurance to people that if they need urgent or emergency care, we will be dealing with that in as effective a way as we can in the absence of these IT systems.
And what about hospitals generally now, and people who have appointments coming up next week, for example? I mean, are you telling people to expect a cancellation or at least a delay in hospitals generally? You know, we're hearing, for example, in University Hospital Limerick that there are significant delays even today.
Well, I would advise anybody who's listening, if you have an existing appointment, that we will honour that appointment unless you're notified by the hospital. And given what we know in the past hour or two, Cormac, that this will appear to... it seems clear now it will take a number of days to resolve. It may well be that there'll be significant disruption to scheduled services next week. We will contact people and inform them if appointments are to be cancelled. At this point in time, for Monday, many of the outpatients lists, many of the schedule lists, the notes will have been taken out. We have those patient informations, and they will continue. But if there's any change to that, we will contact patients and inform them either through our own website, and I'd urge people to look that up for the latest information, but also through the hospital's local information through media and other sources. I could add, Cormac, if I could, that vaccination, I know you didn't ask
me. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, yeah, because we're gaining some momentum with vaccinations, weren't we? But the vaccination registration portal is still shut down?
The registration portal is shut down, yes, but vaccination is continuing. I was in the Aviva this morning and saw the throughput there of many patients in the 50 to 59 age group with underlying conditions proceeding without any disruption and proceeding with really remarkable efficiency, if I could say, and a lot of happy patients there getting their vaccination. So that's continuing, but the registration has been affected, that portal. It is temporarily closed down. We can facilitate appointments through HSC Live. You know, some people do phone HSC Live to get appointments, but it would be a number of days before we get that registration portal open again, because it's also affected by this cyber attack.
And in the meantime, for people who were just about to register on the portal, what's the advice?
The advice is we HSC Live. We can register through HSC Live. We have a capacity there to take people who prefer to contact directly, so that's possible. But the portal is affected. It is closed temporarily. And at this stage, I simply can't say, Cormac, when it will be reopened, because we're still in that phase of assessing the scale of this damage, which is quite considerable.
No, I appreciate that. So quite generally now, be it the vaccination programme or test and trace or testing or contact tracing, or in the hospital or health service generally, are people working effectively with pen and paper as best they can?
Yes, they are, and I've been on the phone to radiologists and to pathologists. So what we're doing is, many of those people will have worked in times where we didn't rely so heavily on enabling IT systems. So what's happening is now we're transcribing results, we're double checking them. Clinicians are used to dealing and managing under very difficult circumstances. They want to continue providing services. They want to continue providing safe care. This is a considerable challenge, particularly to those investigations and diagnostics which rely so heavily in IT. But as I say, we've been working throughout the day to develop contingency plans across all hospitals so we can continue the most urgent care.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you something which I don't know if I've heard answered expressly? And I know systems were switched off, I think, about 4:30 this morning to contain the problem and protect data and so on. But were they switched off in an effort to limit the damage done or to prevent access from personal data? I mean, the question, I suppose, is has people's personal data been compromised here?
Well, I'm not an IT expert, but I've been talking to our IT leads throughout the day at Cormac, and my understanding is as soon as they became aware that this had happened, they closed down systems to prevent exactly what you say. I'm not in a position to say. I simply don't know, because we're still assessing the scale of potential harm that's been done. Mm-hmm. But there was as soon as that threat became apparent, there was a close down of all these systems in order to prevent exactly what you say, which is access.
I understand. So to prevent it is what you say, to prevent the compromisation, the compromise of people's data, personal data, the system was shut down. So the question then remains, I suppose, if it has been compromised, will people be informed, or when will they be informed?
Well, just to go back to the beginning of your question, Cormac, it was also to protect services, because the data was, much of it was taken away and encrypted on which our services rely. So it was also to protect the services that people need. And of course, once we gauge the scale of this attack and the harm that's been done, we will be informing people. But it's simply too early. I cannot say, because we simply don't know at the moment.
I understand. The level of warning or alert that the HSE would have had for an attack like this. I know the email system went down in Beaumont Hospital, was it yesterday? And I think there was an attempted attack, a cyber attack on the Department of Health system yesterday as well. Were you warned that this could have happened imminently?
Not to my knowledge. I certainly haven't heard anything today. Some people are reporting today, the hospital groups you're talking to, of some events such as those yesterday, but nothing on the scale of what happened in the early hours of this morning.
Are investigators telling you that they're, that the attack has now happened, or is there a danger of further attacks in the coming hours?
We cannot say that what happened is a significant attack right across national and local services. As I said, Cormac, our systems were closed down to prevent and limit the harm that could be done, not just the access to information, but also the harm that we've done to services through damage to those IT-enabling functions that allow services to run efficiently and with good throughput. So it's just too early to say, I'm afraid.
Okay. Is there any way this can be avoided in the future?
Well, I will rely on IT expertise, and I have to confess I'm not an IT expert myself.
Yeah.
But certainly this is an attack that's unprecedented, as the minister said earlier, and I'm sure there'll be when we get to the bottom of this, and when this is resolved, and when we have services back up, there certainly will be we'll be looking at what we can learn from this to make our IT systems safer and to protect our services.
Okay, we spoke with an IT expert earlier in the programme, and he said this is about money. Barry O'Sullivan from UCC. Has a ransom been demanded yet?
Well, to my knowledge, in the past hour, what's behind it, as we understand, is ransomware, where people want money, obviously significant amounts, I presume, to correct the harm that's been done, and also to limit any further harm. But it's hard to express, certainly in my view as a doctor and somebody who's interested in patients and healthcare, that how cynical somebody could be to exploit patients who are sick for financial in that way. It's hard to credit.
It is disgusting, but I suppose that is a way of international crime, faceless crime like this. I mean, if a ransom is demanded, what happens?
Well, I don't know. It's certainly not something I'll be dealing with directly, but I can assure you that all the agencies of government and the our ministers were getting offers of support from all departments, and I can only assume that they're working with our national cybersecurity people, and as I said, with national and international experts to resolve this, and in parallel, not just to limit the harm, but to prevent this happening again. It's too early for me. I'm not in any position to say, because I simply don't know if any rant has been definitively asked or any negotiations are taking place. I doubt it.
Okay, so you don't know if it's been demanded or
no,
not. And I wonder what the response will be, or if this is being discussed by the HSE or even at state level, at some agency, if a ransom is demanded and personal data has been compromised.
Our priority is on patients, on patient care, on services, and what we want to do now is get this resolved, get our IT systems up and running again, get those diagnostic services which support cancer services, which support theatres, which support elective care, outpatients, link between GPs and hospitals, get that running again as quickly as possible. It's been a tough enough year for healthcare the past 14 months. The one that we saw enormous disruption, and this is something. This is certainly something we don't need now on top of the disruption of the past 14 months.
I'm sure enough lot of people will agree with you. Dr. Colm Henry of the HSE, thank you very much indeed for joining us.